Blog Talk Radio.
Just like does what it wants to, and then it's going to go up and it's going to go down. Ah, well, forget about it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 5:01 here on the west coast of the United States of America. I'm in sunny California, Los Angeles to be exact, Encino if you want to be extremely exact. Our weather today was probably about high 80s. Beautiful, if you like that weather. I'm used to it. I was born and raised here. We live in the desert. There's no water. I get it, but we have all the other stuff that we love. So it's fantastic. Hey, it's good to be back. I have a 2.5 weeks off before we hit our next event in Michigan. And then it's Michigan and then Oklahoma and then Chicago. And then after Chicago, it's back here to the middle of our state called San Luis Obispo. Got some local events I'm going to do as well. We'll get to that later. But I just came back from Edmonton. Edmonton is in Alberta, and so is Saskatchewan. I hope I'm saying that right. Saskatchewan. They're all these Indian native names. If you guys look on a map, you will see Canada's cut up into provinces. There's BC and there's Alberta, and so on and so on. It keeps on going down until we get all the way to the Newfies, the Newfoundlanders, on the East Coast. It's the second largest country in the world, with the majority of the population living along the border of America. And from my research, I found out that the population of California is the same population of Canada. Crazy. Here's another fact. You guys ever watched the Ken Burns documentary on the Vietnam War? It was, I think it was, the number was about 60,000 plus Americans draft dodged to Canada, and the equivalent amount actually signed up for the American Army of Canadians. Canadians signed up for the American Army to fight in Vietnam when the same amount of Americans left. So thank you very much, Canada. We appreciate and love you for that, and for Justin Bieber and Putin and maple syrup and whatever else. Anyway, so I was let me grab this. 587, who's this?
Ooh, it's Mr. Ragnar from good old Canada.
Hey, I like Ragu. Ragu, the one in
Ragu
the jar.
Butter.
I like Ragu better. What's up, brother man? How are you?
Not bad. It was a chilly day up north today, and I'm getting ready for this weekend's event up here in Boyle, Canada. I forget what's her name. What's her name? Starts with a M.
Mitzi, Marilu, Mamima, Mamu. Mitzi.
Yeah, Mitzi from paintball. She has an event.
Yep.
In Boyle this coming Saturday, so we're all excited for that, weather permitting. But I think most players are just excited to go out and visit her field. So we're going to be rain, snow, tornadoes, sunshine, whatever.
Are you serious?
Going out,
I mean, what's the weather going to be like? You know, do you know?
They're calling, and this is crazy. They're calling for overcast on Saturday with a chance of thunder and lightning storms, with maybe a little bit rain. And then as of Thursday here in Alberta, it's starting to snow.
Fuck, that's amazing. You guys, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Okay, so again, as you guys know out there, the only time that we know it's a holiday is if there's something that happens at our grocery store. So if Ralph's has pumpkins, then we know it's Halloween or whatever.
No, okay.
So we don't know. There's a change of seasons. So I joke about it all the time. I love Christmas. I mean, that's my... You know, that's my big Achilles heel. I could listen to Christmas music all day. It's just something from a childhood kind of thing. So I love Christmas, and I'm signed up on Facebook to, like, you know, almost Christmas. You know, they post these, like, you know, 3 more weeks till Christmas.
God.
So
for the countdown.
Yeah. I'm all into it, right? So what I do sometimes is I post up one, you know, it says, like, 18 more weeks till Christmas, and the Canadians go fucking ballistic because they're like, you don't understand. We have such a small window that we can play paintball, and we don't want Christmas. We just want to enjoy our sunshine. And now look, you guys are getting fucking snow again. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, we're getting fucking snow again. It's crazy.
That's crazy. Well, listen. So I apologize to all you Canadians. I didn't mean it that way. I love the holiday, and I understand now from being up there so many times that the weather is really funky. You guys are the border between us and the Arctic, Santa Claus or whatever it is up there, right? And you get all that weather, all that funky weather coming in, and it can be like chilly to the bone. We had funky weather at the event, right?
Yeah, we had funky weather. Actually, it was crazy Saturday. You saw the drive up. It was pouring rain, and
right.
Went from pouring rain to super windy.
Yep.
To clear skies, no wind, and
yep.
It became some of a hot day. And then Sunday, same thing, minus the rain, which we're really happy. It didn't rain too much on Sunday. And Sunday, it went from dark skies to really sunny to no wind and just perfect paintball weather.
Yeah, it was another one of those, we call it in a bubble. It was like I was in Pittsburgh. And the time before that one, and they were calling for crazy weather as well. But it just like the gods opened up the sky, and it was just like perfect. So we were very lucky. We had an amazing day. But I think I've played paintball enough that you can't be deterred by the weather. And a lot of times people are. In fact, there were people that canceled for our event this past weekend because they thought it was going to rain or whatever. You know what?
Yep.
Their heart's not into it, man. If you're looking at the rain for like, oh my God, I'm not gonna forget about it. And you know, it's us. It's us trailblazers that say, hey, you know, forget about it. We're gonna do it. We'll just jump in there and we reap the reward.
Where we had the event at Young Guns Paintball in Stony Plain. I remember this year. It was crazy this year. Our season opener was back in March. Yeah, it was beginning March, and it was still below. I remember when Brandon opened the field for the first outdoor game of the season, it was below 20. And there was only six of us that showed up, six guys, brave guys. One of them was one of the kids I mentor, and he's like, you know what? It was minus 20 outside, but with that sun beaming down on us on the snow or anything, and then we got moving around and going. Mind you, you know, we played kind of the same field all day long, so it was one of the fields that was more accessible, and then
right.
Just easier to play around on. And it was an amazing day. It was an amazing day. Even if it was just six guys, it was just awesome to do that event. Just to show up, just a customer day. Hey, this is the first day of the season, and let's go going. I usually don't stop. Even if it's snowing outside, I live here in Edmonton. I live 5 minutes away from a indoor field.
Right.
So I'll go play at the indoor field just to make sure I don't get rusty over the the holidays. And
right.
Then there's another field about 20, 25 minutes away from my actual house. And it's more of a speedball field. So since I'm more of a mag-fed guy, I don't tend to go there. But now with my speedball gear, I know every Wednesday they have clinics at night. And then Impact usually show up. So I might be showing up at the clinics there, the brushing up and get me into speedball a little bit more than what
I did
on the weekend.
It's actually pretty good for you too to play against those guys, right? I mean, that's like playing against Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods and all those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're world class athletes. They're amazing. They do a lot for our community also out here. So you know they're a big name. And what yesterday's funny is Ludlow feed. And when I showed up at Chase's, when Matt came and saw me, it was just funny because he had his Armadillo hat on. I had my Armadillo hat on.
Right.
And what a lot of people didn't see is he had an Edmonton Impact shirt on, and I had my Edmonton Impact shirt on.
Oh, that's cool.
So
that's a good thing.
Like a couple of people noticed it, and they're like, oh, you guys planned it. I'm like, no, totally not planned at all.
Wow, dude. That's a good coincidence. That's a great coincidence. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys for you guys that don't know, this is Ben St. Croix. Is that I'm saying it right?
Yeah, that's actually pretty. That's pretty good. That's the
there
best
you go.
One yet.
Ben
there
St. Croix. Okay, Ben St. Croix. And so Ben and I had been PMing back and forth like a couple of weeks before the event. He started, you know, like really jamming on getting this promoted out there to his friends. I think just because of Ben and I, the numbers increased. No, I'm just joking. It was the biggest event they've had. It was the biggest Tippmann challenge they've had. It was we doubled the numbers by 100 and something. So it was like 300 and about 325 people, which was fantastic. We had people coming in from the neighboring province, Saskatchewan. What's the neighboring Saskatchewan?
We had players this weekend. This is actually pretty sweet. We had players from British Columbia that came in. One
wow.
of the guys on our team that's posted. He serves for the armed forces here. In Canada, he came back for 2 weeks to come and play the event. He's
wow.
coming out actually this Saturday before he goes back to his garrison back in BC to play one more time. And I think that's probably going to be his last game of the season, which is just fine. He's doing something great for our country. We had people
cool.
from Saskatchewan show up. We had people from Northern Alberta. So we had people from Grand Prairie. Just to get anyone that's listening. Kind of a figure of how long of a drive it is. We'll do it in time because we do everything in kilometers here. It's a 5 hour drive, 5 to 4 hour drive from Northern Alberta all the way to Stony Plain. We had people from Lethbridge that showed up, and that's near the, it's more southern and near Saskatchewan also. And it's another 3 to 4 hour drive. So it was really nice to see people come from around Alberta to come to this event. We had another team there that called the Bones Ballers. There's one guy, I think, one or two guys that actually live in Edmonton, and the rest of their team, they all live out far. So they live out in White Court and everything. It's about another 2 hour drive also to the field, which is really amazing. So it was
wow.
nice to see people come out. That family I was there were from Grand Prairie. So, you know, it's a four to five hour drive. And then, you know, you got the parents and the kids and everything. And it was awesome to see them there again. And they usually show up to almost every event every month. So it's just nice to see that the sport's not dead in Alberta, which is nice. And I think we put ourselves back on the map with this weekend.
I think so. I think what happened was all around the numbers are low all throughout the world, every place I go with paintball. But the thing is, though, I think when I was watching the remarks, the PMs and that kind of stuff, people were getting bored by certain things. They needed some excitement. They needed something to rally around. And I think that's what we did on this one, is everybody started to just say, you know, this is something special. I can't miss it. Let's rally around this thing. And they did. We just had people, again, from all over the place. I want to I wrote down a list of thank yous, and I wrote down a list of just kind of I'm going to give you guys a pretty much a 1-2-3 what happened with me on this event. So we had been planning this thing. I'm going to say we, Louis and I. Louis is our GI representative, and we planned this thing last year in Mirabel, and Mirabel's in August. And so he said, hey, can you make it out to in September? It was really short notice, obviously a month. And I said, no, that's too short. I've already got my tour booked. He goes, okay, let's work on this during the year. So we did. We worked on the logistics. We worked on this. We got this. When I went to Mirabel this year to do Mirabel, he was walking around with a black shirt that had my logo on
that
it. And
said the logo on it.
The Reaper Tittman challenge. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, what the fuck? And he goes, yep, that's for the Edmonton. And we're going, wow. And so we just started all of these things that we had been talking about, like kind of came together. And what Louis was looking at was, the PMs that I get from this part of Canada is like, you know, hey, what about us? You know, we're the redheaded stepchild. How come no one takes care of us? We're kind of on our own little island. Now, Louis is the GI representative for all of GI Canada. And a lot of times people feel the GI doesn't really, you know, do anything for them. So Louis said, listen, this year we're going to just like, you know, knock it out of the park. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to bring you in. We're going to do that. And I said, I don't know any of what you're talking about. Like, you know, I just show up. I don't know anything about the politics or this or that. But I said, if I'm at, you know, here, Germany, Ireland, whatever it is, I'm doing my show. I'm going to come in. Just point me in the right direction. So he says, yeah, we're good. So we had been like building this thing up. And then I did a video with Brando and Destiny about like I'd never met him before. And I just said, hey, let's do a video. And they started talking about the park and about this and about that. And then what happened was in that video, it has to do, I think, something with the camera, with being live. It kind of drops your guard down, and you start just being yourself, and you start just like, you know, letting it flow. And that's what happened with Brando and Destiny, is they just started like letting it flow and talking about their park and how excited they are about this and how excited they are about bringing in the other parks. We had Silver Creek, we had Excalibur. They promoted Skyline Nation. They promoted Capture the Flag. We invited everybody to set up booths there. It was amazing. So I'm like, this is kind of unusual what's happening. And you can kind of feel it. You can kind of feel the buildup, that kind of like, wow, you know, people are talking about this. This is happening. And what happens is it actually acts like a wave. And the people that were sitting on the fence or people that were like being all political, I'll never play that field, all that stuff started to just dissipate, just go away. And then people just started showing up, and nobody was worried about, what are you doing here? What are you doing? They came for our sport. They came to play. And that's what happened. We had, again, we doubled our numbers. People started to come in. We were welcoming everybody. Come on in. Let's just have a great time kind of thing. So then they booked me on WestJet Airlines. Now, from my house to Alberta is 3 hours, which is not bad. I'm usually like flying 12 or 13 hours. So this was fantastic. And I do the typical Reaper thing, which is like, I'll go up to the counter and say, hey, you know, any room in first class, whatever else. And yeah, there was room in first class. So I want to thank Brando for getting me room in first class. It was, what does first class mean on a small jet like that? There's about six of you, and you get free meals and drinks, and that was kind of a cool thing to do. That was a really nice way of starting this thing. So Louis and Patrick picked me up, and we headed to the hotel. We got changed and everything. We went to Brando and Destiny's house, and the house is on the property. So if you guys have ever seen, it's like a country club. This park is like a country club. It's so huge. But then their mansion is basically on the property as well. And so, like, when you walk out of their kitchen, you open a door and you're in the pro shop. That's how connected they are to this whole thing. So we went there just to say hello. We brought Thomas with us, Thomas Monk from Ripple, and we all were hanging out in the kitchen. And we had homemade pizza that Destiny had made. So we're eating the pizza. We're talking about the game. We're talking about the sport. I'm being brutally honest with them about how I look at everything and everything. And they were being honest with me, which is fantastic. And then on Saturday, we show up. And as I'm driving up the hill, this Ben guy is walking down the hill. Hey, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. I like to see you. That's fantastic. Great. He's wearing his Armadillo headband. He's all decked out. And we start to drive up there. And I, you know, people are like recognizing me. Hey, how's it going? I'm giving everybody hugs like this. So what we decided to do on Saturday was to do a speedball game just for fun. And it was actually a proper tournament. There were brackets. We had like two sets of games. It was the Young Guns, which I was playing in. So basically, Ben invited me to join on his team. So it was Ben, Brandon. We had four. Me, Ben, Brandon, and Brandon's brother, Carter. And so we, so we had us four. And we had so we were playing against the other Young Guns teams. And then there was the actual speedball, you know, the real speedball teams. So I'm not a speedball guy. I don't know what to do. So I'm just basically just running at people and getting shot and, you know, just being a distraction kind of thing. And Ben is taking it seriously, obviously. No, I'm joking. Ben is having a great time as well. He's having a great time. But the thing is, though, during these games, everybody got to like suss each other out, you know, oh, who, how is this guy? What is it like this? And so I bring to these events, I bring a sense of happiness, hugging. We're all kumbaya kind of thing. But then also I'm a big clown too. So like I was asking Darcy, who's the manager there, who like runs everything, who's a professional speedball player. I said, listen, dude, I want to do this, this, and this. And he was like biting his tongue. He's like, oh, okay, all right. So I wanted to just do crazy things. And one of the things I did was last game was I bundled about like four Enola Gays together, and I just pulled them and I rolled them out there. And so like then they blew the whistle. So I like, you know, I was jumping through the smoke and, you know, trying to outflank it. It wasn't for the tactical part. It was so Thomas could take pictures. So the pictures came out pretty good. It was fantastic. But, you know, who uses smoke during a speedball game? Whatever. But it was adding to the whole fun type of thing. So we had an amazing speedball event. It was fantastic. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, I played a lot of one-on-one games in speedball fields for, like, you know, charity events, whatever else. We're talking dirt speedball. We're talking concrete that has one layer of AstroTurf. We're talking, you know, just tumbleweeds. This was not. This place, because I think of the rain, this was like, I mean, if you were to slide on the snake on this one, which the snake was funky, there was two snakes, but if you, it was, the grass was at least about 3 inches deep. And then there was the dirt beneath. This thing was bouncy. That's how cool this place was, where the grass was like amazing. In fact, there's a place called Fort Destiny that it was covered with grass, and it was all well manicured, taken care of. It wasn't, I don't know if they did it for this event or supposedly what I'm hearing, they always take care of this place, but this was amazing. So we were playing speedball on this grass that was just like playing in your backyard kind of thing. So it was really, they really, really took care of it. That was really cool. So we played speedball on Saturday. And then what they decided to do was they asked the teams, do you guys want to go again for another round robin? And our team said, nah, we've had enough. And then they did actually want for another round robin. So we were able to hang out. Patrick was able to serve his guns if he needed to and just, you know, get to know people and, you know, hang out. And it was fantastic. In the morning on Saturday, Darcy took Thomas and I for a drive around the whole park. And, well, the thing was, how do I put this? Canadians like to, well, they enjoy their adult liquid entertainment, if you know what I'm talking about. And Darcy was a bit not firing on all cylinders in the morning. in the morning. So I go, hey, Darcy, do me a favor, you know, I'm all bouncy and everything. Hey, Darce, do me a favor. Can you take us to the, you know, different fields? And all I want you to do is Thomas is going to videotape it, and you tell us, I'll interview you. He goes, okay. So we get to, first one is Fort Destiny. And I said, hey, it's Reaper. I'm here, da-da-da, and I'm here with Darcy. Darcy, tell me about Fort Destiny. And he's, like, talking, and you can hear him going, rrr. I go, okay, cool. We cut. I go, here's what we're going to do, Darcy. You're going to go sit in the Jeep and put your head on the steering wheel, and we're going to take over. So Thomas and I were hitting. I mean, Darcy was driving us, and Thomas and I would jump out, and I would like, what's the name of this field? I don't know. Well, there's a lot of trucks. It's the truck field or the tank field, or I'm like, you know, doing the whole thing. So you'll see the video. We're composing for it. It's fantastic. But listen, it's all cool. Everybody had a great time. We just like knocked it out of the park on Saturday. Then we got together for the evening for dinner, which was, you know, which was fantastic as well. And we went to a place called Original Joe's. Do you know what I'm talking about? Original
yep,
Joe's.
Yep. It's a good restaurant.
Okay. So they had like what did they have? They had I don't know, like poutine. They had this like poutine that I like, that I actually had the people in Maribel make for me, which was, it's poutine with ground beef with onions and a bunch of other stuff mixed in. Have you ever had something like that?
Next time you're up in Canada, we're going to make time,
yeah,
and I'll bring you to an actual poutine,
okay,
place.
A real poutine
place.
A poutine.
Yeah, real poutinerie, yeah. And it's also actually owned by a French person from Quebec too. So
a Quebecois?
Yeah, Quebecois. Yeah, he's owned by a Quebecois, so we won't do any Original Joe's.
Okay, that sounds good. I will. You know what? Actually, the plan that we have for next year is I'm going to come up a day earlier than normal. I mean, like, I came up on Friday, but maybe I'll come up on Thursday on this one, and then we're going to try to hit as many parks as we can. We'll hit Destiny's Park, and we'll hit Maddie's Park, and we'll try to hit as many parks as we can to kind of like, again, make that inclusive, you know, like everybody say, hey, we're all part of the whole big family kind of thing. So we're going to try to,
yep,
to do that. Okay. So one of the running jokes that we had was, hang on a second, let me just open this thing up. One of the running jokes that we had was one of my, she calls herself the biggest fan. She's the biggest fan, the biggest Reaper fan. So her name is Sasha. And so what she did was it Commando before Maribel? She made a shirt, everything like that. Reaper's biggest fan. They picked me up from the airport. It's fantastic. So for my birthday, she sent me these Canadian Tire dollars, they're called. And they look real, look like Monopoly money, but they kind of look real. And they've got even like serial numbers and some kind of happy Scotchman on it, I guess. I don't know who that guy is. He's a happy Scottish man. Anyway, so what I try to do when I go to these events, whatever this center, whatever event, is I put together a video log, basically. It's a package of like saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. People follow along with me because I want them to do the same thing. I want them to come to the events. I want them to come to these parks. And so I make funny things. I do crazy things. So the crazy thing that we did this year was the Canadian Tire joke, which was when I got to the airport in L.A., I was asking the lady if I can pay for my baggage with the Canadian money, this tire money. And, you know, she was like, no. And then we took a picture of it. And we just kept on adding to that story. The best one that we got was one lady at Timmy's. When we came up to the window at Timmy's, she was really nice. She's a really nice lady. And I said to her, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you pretend to be mad and that I'm paying with Timmy's? And she was like an actress, right? So I'm putting the money out. She's wagging her finger. We took the exact picture as we needed. And then people went ballistic. People were like, man, you pissed her off. I've never seen a mad Canadian before. What's going on? Like that. She was all in on it. So it was fantastic. So we put all that together. And people really got in on the joke. It was kind of cool. And then I finally, on the drive back to the airport, we saw the Canadian Tire place. So we took a picture of it kind of to put a big bow on the whole package. But that's what we try to do, is to get everybody involved, everybody watching involved, everybody part of this whole package involved kind of thing. So as I was explaining to Ben and everybody else involved, is that yes, we have our celebrities in our sport. You know, we have our different ones, and sometimes they pop in and pop out, or they're doing whatever they're doing. They're on their own journey. So my journey is to make a cohesive connection with the players and the parks. So look what we're doing now. It's Thursday, and all during the week, I've been interviewing all you guys, And even before I got to the park, I was promoting at the park. The idea is that I'm not just like here to pop in and pop out. My job, my goal is to make you connected. I'm connected with Maribel, even though I'm not there right now, or Commando, or Germany. I'm constantly connected with you guys because it's something that we created. We created a bond, and yeah, I don't have to talk to you every day, but you know, maybe in like 3 months or something, be Christmas or something, we'll be joking about that, and I'll tag you in some stuff. That's what we do. And what we do in that is not only build the sport, but we build the parks that we are at. So the next time when I come back, people will say, hey, did you see what happened when Reaper is here? Yeah, let's do that. That's what we're trying to do. So I feel that if you're going to be a public image, Mr. St. Croix, if you're going to be a public image, you've got to find your path, and you've got to find your connection with, you know, I'm not humble. You guys all know that. And I joke non-humbly about being a celebrity and saying fans and that kind of stuff, whatever word you want to use. But if you want to make a connection with your fans, the players, whatever you want to call, you got to kind of do that. And I saw Ben doing that on Saturday and Sunday, where he was getting, I don't know you personally, Ben. I mean, I know you personally. I mean, I don't know your history, your backstory. I don't know anything about your bag. I get nothing. All I know is from when we were together and whatever I saw. And what I saw was you going on Facebook Live and talking with people. Hey, how's it going? What's going on? Hey, you're going to the different benches. I don't know if you knew everybody, but it seemed like it was a one big party kind of situation. That's what we need in our sport. We need more of the I'll give you an example. I do this anyway. I walk these people don't know me. I walk the table to table, introduce myself, welcome them kind of thing. We had a whole table. It was like about 10 Filipinos. I don't know if you saw them. There was like a group of 10 Filipino players, right?
Yeah, so,
what's that?
They were set up right beside the Devil's Rejects table on Sunday. Yeah,
right, exactly.
They're on the field often.
Okay, so then I walked over to them, and one of the first things I joked was one of their players, he had this kind of funky haircut where like half of his head was shaven and it was like the other half was kind of like full. And so I said to him right off the bat, I said, hey, did you keep the receipt at the barber? Maybe you can get your money back, right? And then they just started busting up, boom, 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 like this. Okay, right there, you broke the ice, you're in. And then I said, hey, you know, the snack shop just got some balut. I don't know if you guys know what balut is, but it's a specific Filipino food. It's like basically a chicken that isn't developed yet, but they put it in the ground and then they pull it out and then they eat it. So you're kind of eating a fetus with some feathers on it, whatever. It's called balut. They love it. And for a white person to say that to them, they were on the floor laughing, right? So I said, what's the name of your team? We don't have one. I said, call it Team Balut. Okay, yeah. So then they're like, can we take a picture with you? Boom. Within 5 minutes, right there, you've welcomed these people and you're like, they're in, they've got it, they understand what's going on. So again, that's what I do at every event that I ever go to, is the same thing. You make a connection with these people, and once you do that kind of thing, they feel more comfortable about being there. They feel like they drop their guard. They'll remember. They're going to tell their friends on social media. They're going to, and then boom, 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 and then this event just gets bigger and bigger. So again, for people who are thinking about this whole celebrity world or whatever you want to call it, you know, I don't know. The biggest thing is the players, because if you don't have players, if you don't have the fans, then you're just talking to yourself. And how do you do that? It's got to come from your heart. It comes from my heart. I'm honest about what I do. I love working with people. I just love people. But if it's not from your heart and you're shy, maybe that's not the path you want to take. So I see a budding star here with Ben, and I think that Ben's got an amazing personality. And I think that, Ben, you just got to kind of, I would say, I mean, you got the name already, but you kind of need to get like a certain look. And obviously, listen, my look was on the billboard. My look was in a smoke-filled silhouette, and you just know right away, that's my look. You know what I'm saying? That's Reaper kind of thing. You need to do the same thing. You need to get kind of a something. And then once you establish that look, then if you decide to go speedball or whatever, they're going to go, yeah, that's Ben. We know him. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But you need to build that kind of character situation. That's just how it is. Yeah, free advice, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I'm working on stuff right now. Since the event, I'll have one of the guys on our team, Drew Nelson. He's going to help me design
I am part of a team called the Devil's Rejects, but I will be having my own jersey. So when I'm playing speedball alone on different fields, when the guys are not out and all that, and I'm just kind of like doing my own little thing, I'll have my own jersey that's going to represent me, also represent the team at the same time. And
nice.
Then I'll have my competition jersey, which is pretty sweet. So I'm working on that too. I know Mitzi from the field also is going to help me out with that, give me some ideas.
Nice.
And you know, a little bit about me. When I first started playing 3 years ago, I won't lie, I was probably the most angriest player in the world. I won't lie. And then, you know what? And then yesterday after the live stream with the boys, Chase looked at me and says, Ben, no, you used to be a dick. Like, you're a dick. You're a piece of shit player. He's like, no one liked
wow.
you. He's like, but
wow,
over
wow,
the
wow.
years, you changed your shell. You grew into the sport. You became a different player. And that's the thing. So, you know, everyone has to find their path and find their how they're going to gel into the sport. And, you know, it is what it is. And
no, you know what?
You know,
Listen, I can't say I'm proud of you because I don't know you before, but the story you just told me makes me proud of you because that's the amazing thing that paintball does. I mean, it helps soldiers with PTSD. It helps. Listen, I'm going to put it to you this way, and everybody knows I say this all the time. Paintball attracts broken people. For some reason, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a sports guy. I never played any other sport kind of thing. But I'm just telling you, I see what people come with certain baggage, whether it's like they were abused, whether it's like they're AA, or whether it was whatever, you know, all these kind of things. There's a lot of people that paintball has been their savior. Paintball has been their like their what's it called? What's that pill that to the anxiety pill, whatever it is that you can take it.
Their antidepressant. It's their
that's what it is, right?
I've struggled with health issues, mental health issues, and everything, and with anger issues, and you know, join paintball helped me out a lot, and a lot of people saw that.
Nice.
You know, I'm always going to give big thanks for my first original team, which is SAS Woodland Canada, and you know, Heather and Grant, they play out of Grand Prairie, and they weren't there
yep,
this weekend,
yep.
and they were really sad they didn't get to come, but you know, they helped me a lot through my journey, you know, going through my second year into the sport, I went through a divorce and everything, and I had my
wow.
own issues going on, to having back issues, to not knowing if I was able to come back to the sport or not. I was literally off for 6 months from the sport, and it destroyed me. And then coming back strong and, you know, having the boys I mentor now, having their mom approach me one day on the field and say, hey, you know, my kids look up to you. They love you. They bite into who you are and what you do for everyone on the field and how you're fair with everyone. And, you know, Mitzi told me the same thing too, that one of her young boys from Excalibur Paintball that plays at her field, Carson, I found out that when I showed up to that field and I did my live feed with him, he already knew who I was when I walked in. And that's why he smirked at me, because he knew who I was. And
wow.
for me, that was the this season. My greatest moments this season was one, meeting Carson. You know, the mentorship too is big. It's up there. But meeting Carson and then having that feeling of recognition from a younger player, for a young boy
nice.
That I've never
nice.
Met before and know who I am and knows what I'm about. And, you know, I got helped on the path of meeting Mitzi, and an amazing park owner. You know, there's park owners there out there that, you know, are all about the business and making the money. But, you know, Mitzi is about, you know, the passion for the sport and keeping things going and helping out with the community. And that was fun too. This weekend was seeing Brandon and Destiny from Young Guns Paintball. And a lot of us, we all, you know, spoke about it, that it was nice to see their passion again. You can see
wow.
it and feel it, that it was back and it came back and everything, you know. And not saying that they don't love the sport or anything, but you can kind of see, you know how, you know, paintball and how it's going, and, you know, when things are starting to get hard, it wears on an owner and someone
yeah,
that's trying to have a sport. And then to see their passion and everything, to see a Destiny come out and play the week
wow.
before, she just came out one day. She came out for one game. Hurry up, gear it up for one game. Put her speedball gear on and came out and played one game with us during club scenario. And just to see her out for the tournament and playing with everyone and no putting together a last minute team was amazing. It made this weekend, this Tippmann Challenge, it made the weekend, this event, overly special for a lot of people, because a lot of people got to be part of something big for our part of the woods, our neck of the woods, to say, hey, you know what, we're going to make ourselves loud. We're going to put on a show for the world and show everyone that, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're about. And come and visit us. Come play with us.
Nice. You guys were the best representatives. You guys were the best ambassadors. All of you guys, all the people that showed up, even the ones who didn't show up, that actually helped us promote. And you guys, when I'm talking about promoting, I'm talking about, we had, I'm going to pop this picture up here so I can see this here. We had, Silver Creek Splatter, Skyline Nation, Excalibur, Capture the Flag. I've got my list here. We had all these guys doing something unusual, which was you could register for this event, which was at a different park than theirs, at their park. So, like, just say, like, Silver Creek, if you went into Silver Creek, you could register for the Tippmann Challenge at Young Guns Paintball at Silver Creek, right? And it was like, nobody does that. So they did. Okay, so let me throw out another nobody does that thing here. It was Friday. It was in the evening. It was not even. It was about like 4 o'clock, something like that. We were coming from the airport. Louis, he has his Jeep, and we were taking Google, and we got lost. I don't know where they got lost. Whatever else, we figured out finally where we were, and we ended up in this very busy intersection. And there was this huge billboard, and I'm not looking at the billboard. I'm just looking around at, hey, where am I? And then Louis goes, hey, look up there. And I looked at this billboard, and all of a sudden there's a picture of me. And I'm like, what the fuck? What? And so he goes, yeah. And then it disappeared, and then it went, you know, it talked about the news. You know, so I said,
Hey, Rip, I was going to cut you too short. I don't want to be rude, but I got one of my buddies that just showed up. I haven't seen him in a long time, so I'm going to have to stop the show. But I'll keep listening, and then we'll touch base later on in the night.
Bye, brother. Take care.
Sure. All right, see you, buddy.
Bye. Bye. So I go, what the hell? So I ran across the street, and he goes, no, get back here. So we drive over there. We finally park across the street from this thing, and so we did Facebook Live, and you guys saw the pictures too. But that's, again, the commitment that Brando put into this thing, where they actually this is the largest billboard in Edmonton. It's one of the electronic billboards. And it would, you know, go through its rotation. And then when it was our turn, it came up. And it would say Western Canada's largest paintball event featuring the Reaper, right? This Sunday, blah, blah, blah. Tippmann Challenge, Young Gun Paintball. I mean, it was just an amazing thing. So I couldn't believe it. I was stopping traffic because it was traffic. I stopped traffic and I said, hey, don't leave. Look at that. That's me. That's me up there. And people are like, what? You're crazy, man. What the? You're crazy American. I said, no. Look, that's me. Look at my shirt. And people were like, ah, get away. Anyway, so we had a laugh on that. It was fun. It just added to the whole craziness of this whole weekend kind of thing. Saturday, we did this whole speedball thing. Just an amazing turnout, and he was right. Destiny showed up as an actual player. I didn't know, and she was the whole day. She was grinding it out with everybody else. Just bam, bam, bam. It was just fantastic to see that. She had an amazing time. I think Excalibur Rain. That's Misty's team. I think they came in like second, first, something like that. I forgot who, but yeah, they were. It was crazy on that. What else do we do? On Sunday it was the actual event, and on Saturday night it rained, and then everybody's like worried, and then no, there was no worry. It was beautiful weather. So then on Saturday, this is another. Must be a Canadian thing. I don't know. But they start at noon, right? The game starts at noon. Now, a lot of games I play in the States, They start at maybe 10, maybe 9:30, sometimes 10, whatever. They want to get the game going, and then they break for lunch, and then they have another, maybe go to 4 or 5 o'clock. Not this one. This one starts at noon, and it's intense all the way through. They're just like boom, boom, boom. I think they ended at 5 o'clock, I think, but it was just boom. I don't know why. Maybe people can sleep in. I got no idea. It was good for me because I could sleep in. We can kind of hang out. At our Tippmann booth, we had a all the T-shirts lined up so people can kind of see it. And basically what it was is, you guys know that I do the Reaper Death card. So what basically happens is if, you know, someone shoots me, they can get a T-shirt in this case. So I was doing the crazy stuff. I was like just running at groups of people so they could shoot me, and I was giving out the cards, and it still wasn't enough. We had like 100 shirts to give away. So we actually didn't give away all the shirts. I was, you know, doing my best, getting lit up and trying to do everything. And, oh, you're in the vicinity, I'll give you a card. And still we couldn't give away all the shirts. It was nice. What I was doing was they would be like, I couldn't be everywhere. So then I started challenging people. I said, okay, we had the speedball field, and I would challenge whoever even just walked on the field. If you shot me or if I shot you, either you'll get a T-shirt. So I was bringing in, like, I was playing against families of five. It was me against them and me against the three people. And we gave away pistols to everybody, and they could just, you know, use the pistols. And I'm going to brag a bit here, but basically what happened was, there was the speedball field was set up in such a way that you guys were like, the spectators were right there. Like, you could see everything that's going on. I'm like right in front of you. And so I took the field, and I'm standing in this open area, and they would say go. And then all of a sudden, on my right-hand side, kind of the snake, this one guy with a pistol, he comes running up and he slides in the snake, and he's just around ready to pop me. And I just look, and I just one-handed go, bam, I pop him, boom. And the whole crowd just went ballistic, blah, like this. And then I saw his friend, and I shot his friend in the head and whatever, fine. So within like 2 minutes, everybody was out, and the crowd just was like, I won the crowd, basically. You know what they say in Gladiator. So then I turned to the crowd and I said, are you not entertained? Right? And they just went, you know, ballistic. Okay. The rest of the time, I was doing my Reaper stuff, like that. But basically what I was doing was showing, okay, this is who I am. I'm a clown. I do this. I have a great time. I grow the sport. But also I'm a very good pistol player too. So people were watching what was happening and going, do I want to play against him? Do I want? And I'm like, come on. It doesn't matter. Just come on in. You know, whatever. We'll have a great time. So we were doing that. And people were just trying to, like, you know, again, we had a family of five who I said, you guys can pick the side. You can do whatever you want. And boom, they were just like, you know, all trying to attack me. And then, you know, we're going through all the bunkers. So we had a birthday boy there. His name was Lucas. And Lucas was with SAS Alberta. I was walking to all the different tables and saying hello. And I came to this one table, and they said, oh, you know, this is Lucas. It's his birthday. And, oh, happy birthday, Lucas. How old are you? 12. I said, come over with me. So I took him back to our tent, our GI tent, and I just loaded him full of stuff that they gave me. I just gave him, like, I think I gave him a card so he'd at least have one, guaranteed a shirt. Him and his sister the same age, Eliana, I think. Elena, A-L-A-Y-N-A, Curry. So that's the Curry family. So I gave him the hand grenades they use are not the GI, not the NOLA Gay. They're the ones that, you know, you pull it and all the paint comes out. So I gave him one of those. I just loaded him up with stuff. I gave him a little Reaper button, everything like that. And, you know, we just had a great time with them. So then after that, they went out and they played pistols against me. And I asked him, I said, do you want to play with your family or you want to play with me? And he goes, I want to be on your side. So fine. So we did. So I gave him my pistol. We went. We was chased down the family. It was fantastic. So that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to make it an event where, if you guys remember what you were like at 12 years old, and, you know, was there a situation like this? I remember when I was a kid, I went to some kind of event with my family, took me, and the people were just amazing. They were giving me gifts and stuff, and I felt like a prince. I was like, what the hell? I still remember to this day. Well, that's the whole idea behind Lucas and his sister, is, and not just them, but everybody else, is we want them to feel like princes and princesses. So when they grow into our sport, they're going to go, wow, that was an event. That was a guy, whatever the situation is. So that's what happened with him. It was, It was fantastic. We have what else do we have? So if you don't know Louis, is the joke we always use is my handler. So like I have basically three handlers, if you want to say. I have a domestic handler, which would be my the States. I have my Canadian handler, which would be Louis, and then I have my international handler, which would be Paul Banks. When the word we use handler, we use that here in Hollywood. It's just that like there's a celebrity and somebody needs to handle his affairs because he can't, like whatever. So we don't mean it as like he's my slave. It doesn't mean it that way. He's my guy that takes care of things. So Louis has been my guy for the past 3 years, and he's just been fantastic at every event that I go to in Canada. Patrick is our tech, and Patrick is super amazing. He's a Frenchie Quebecois, and so we're always joking about, like, he doesn't speak English. He does. And then the name they have for me is, I guess I kind of created it, but Princess, because they always have to handle me with care. But we added sprinkles to it this time, because when we go to Timmy's, we'll get a I don't know what to order because I don't really drink coffee. So I go, well, I want that coffee with the chocolate in it, and throw some whipped cream on it. And do you have any sprinkles too? Put some sprinkles on there. So now I'm Princess Sprinkles. But anyway, that's our inside joke. Now you guys know the joke. The point is that that's the kind of stuff I let my guard. I don't have any guard. I let whatever you want to do. If you want to call me that, that's cool. It's all good. I have no ego with all that kind of stuff. So we have a great time, and we all bond together, and we just make that roll over to you guys. So when we're playing or we're showing up or whatever else, we're not like, you know, fuck this, when's this game gonna end? We're like, I wish this game would never end. I wish this weekend would never end. So that's the kind of feeling that I try to bring to the event and to the promoters. So we had Thomas from Ripple. Now Thomas Monk, he's a photographer. I've known him for like 5 years now. He does just an amazing job. And Louis decided to do, because Louis doesn't know any better, was Louis wanted to have Thomas and I bunk together in the hotel. And I said, no way. And it's not because I want to be a princess. It's because, Thomas has a snoring problem. And if I'm going to be my best the next day, and this guy is cutting wood, it's not going to work. So I said, okay, I don't mind. He can stay at our place. But what's going to happen is I'm going to get extra pillows, and I'm going to put it over his face. And if he wakes up and he's dead, it's not my fault. So anyway, he got his own room, and everybody was a happy ever after kind of thing. But Thomas takes amazing photos. He's always there for us. So that's you know, just a real big shout out to him. During the event on Sunday, I was presented this this hoodie and a shirt from Capture the Flag. They do shooting for a cure or cause. Pretty shooting for a cure, I think it is. And the Devil's Rejects were there, and they gave me this thing, and they videotaped it, and I was like, wow. I was like overwhelmed. I was like, wow. Thank you very much. We're going to be in August, if we can swing it, we're going to try to make sure it happens. But I'll be there for that event in August if we can make this thing happen. They're doing everything they can to raise money for people with cancer, and they've raised thousands upon thousands of dollars for this. So we're going to try to raise more money this time. So they came out and they gave me their hoodie and their shirt, which was just really nice. That was an amazing gesture on their part. So thank you guys again for that. So SAS Alberta was there. And as Ben was saying, Heather Woods wasn't able to make it. But Mitch Dearden showed up. And he came by and he gave me an SAS patch. Now, if you guys don't know SAS, it's basically D-Block is the head guy, basically, and it goes all over the world. And SAS has branches everywhere. But they're very proud of their you know, being the SAS family. They're very proud of their patches and everything like this. And you can't just buy one. You have to be part of the family. And so they made me an honorary member, and they gave me this patch. And I was like, wow, that's just something special. The Curry family that we were talking about, that it was Lucas's birthday, was part of that whole SAS team and everything. So this whole package was just amazing with them. It was I want to give you guys a big shout out. Thank you very much again. That was really cool. So there's two more guys that were in the SAS well, there's three of them, if you want to count him as a real human. I'm not sure, but let's just put there was Jesse and his sister Capri. And then there was a guy who's dressed as a unicorn. I don't know if he knew what day it was, but yeah, he was there. He was hanging out. So Jesse, you cannot miss Jesse. It looks like he bought his hair. He has this like curly, clowny, red, amazing Scottish, just huge locks of hair kind of thing. And his sister Capri, she carries guns and that don't fire, if you know what I mean. She's like a bodybuilder and she's got these huge guns. So we all played together, and then they wanted to play a game against me. So it was Unicorn, Jesse, and Capri against me, Pistols. And they blew the whistle. And I think Capri had been watching the way that I play, because from her end to ours, my end, she just ran. She just ran and started shooting, bam, bam, bam. And I started shooting, bam, bam, bam. And we both got each other out. But she was just like crazy. And then we just were chasing everybody else around. So they're just really cool cats. And they really did an amazing job just representing and hanging out. So thank you very much again, you guys. There was this guy that this kid that came up to me. I don't know. He was like 19 or 20. And I don't know what it was. Maybe even younger. And he said, he started shaking and he started saying, hey, I just wanted to tell you that you're the reason that I got into the sport. I was going to YouTube one time and I saw you with your pistols and I just thought it was amazing. And then I started watching, you know, some more videos, and I saw Nightmare PB from the East Coast, and you two guys are just like, you're just amazing. You're just, and I was like, you know, come on. And he goes, no, I'm serious. His name was Utah. And I go, do me a favor. I said, tell me that on Facebook Live. So he did. And he started saying it on Facebook Live so I can send it to Nightmare and he could see what it was. But I was like blown away by this kid. He was like, you know, it's just amazing. He says, I just started playing. And then he won first place when he played on Saturday, he won first place. He's just been like, he was just amazing. He was one of those guys that just remind you of why you're playing the sport. And it's like, he's a constant. It was just one of those like, thank yous, like, wow, thank you. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So during the end of the day on Saturday, I saw him again. I said, hey, I'll see you tomorrow on Sunday. Right. And he says, I can't afford it. I said, well, what do you mean you can't afford it? And he goes, I can't afford to play. And I said, so don't worry about it. It's on me. Just come and just show up. I'm going to take care of it. You know, whatever you need. But here's the catch. You got to do MagFit. You got to use one of our TMCs. You'll go out with me and we'll run together. And he goes, what? No, what? Run with you? Yeah. So fine. So he showed up. We got him free entrance, got him a TMC. And that lasted for about, I'd say an hour. And then he goes, yeah, I can't use this anymore. I can't throw paint. So he had enough paint. So I said, okay, just use your speedball gun. But you know, it was cool. We got some pictures with him and we got to hang out. It was cool. So there is this girl. I can't pronounce her name. It's Mini Mamusi Mamusa. I don't know. It's Mitzi. So Mitzi, how do I put this? Mitzi is from Excalibur Paintball, and she has her own field, and it's like 5 hours north, I think they said, of where we were. And she brought in two teams, Team Rain, and they dominated. It was amazing to watch them. It might have been three teams. I think it was two teams, and they dominated at the event, both on the speedball and regular. And, okay, so here's the deal. You don't have any money, or you're struggling with money, and you go on the dole or whatever you guys call it in Canadian and America, whatever, you go on the welfare, that kind of thing, and you give up and you go, that's it. I'm just going to let somebody else pay my way kind of thing. This chick doesn't do that. This is amazing. She's got an amazing field. I'm going to be stopping over there next time I go. She showed me pictures. It's just amazing. I mean, they have like two X-ball fields that are like, you know, NXL. People can go there and just like whatever. But the thing is, though, paintball is not making her rich. So what she needs to do is she's actually not – she's like a truck driver, but not really. She kind of like helps trucks when they go out or they need help. Or it's something with it's something that I couldn't do. Something that like you'd have to be like fucking amazingly strong. Whatever. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to tell you, she's an amazing, beautiful woman. And she's got like this bulldog, like I'm going to do it mentality. Just like I'm going to, and you wouldn't see it. If you saw her, you'd go, wow, she's like a princess. She's not. Well, she is, but she's just like, she's an amazing person. She's got this truck that looked like in the States, we have the AAA when your truck gets pulled, our car both pulled over, there's a truck that pulls over. She's got this truck and she's just throwing bags in the back. And she's like, you know, like, I'm like, what the hell? And yeah. And so she showed me pictures. There's pictures of her with this huge tire on this truck. I mean, it's like 10 times as big as her kind of thing. And she's doing, I got no idea. The point is that she made time from her busy day to come out and promote our sport at this event. And that she's working her ass off for the other 24 hours a day to keep her park alive with all this other money that she's making from this other job. So she could basically give up and she could just say, fuck it, I don't need to do this, but she doesn't. What I found out was when she came out, that was like kind of her big break. She's like, you know, she's like never, she never vacations, never did anything. So she joined us. We had drinks. We went to a fire pit together at Brando and Destiny's place. And she really got it like relaxed for a bit, but she's going to go back at it. And then she's like one of those ice trucker kind of people. That she's crazy and in a great way. So Mitzi, my hat's off to you. Thank you very much for all this you're doing to the sport. You're amazing. So thank you. Drew, a big shout out to you, Drew Nelson, for everything you're doing, for helping us to promote this thing. And just, yeah, you're just a cool cat. You're, great at what you do for our sport, and you're always positive. So thank you again, man. It's great to know you. One of the booths that was there was Silver Creek Paintball Park, and there was this guy there that he didn't have a Canadian or American accent. He had an Aussie accent. And he was talking with me, and I go, where are you from? Australia? And he goes, yeah. I go, what are you doing here? And he goes, I just came to Canada. I love paintball. I fell in love, and I found this place, and that's what happened. He started working for them. Maddie, I'm not sure. Yeah, it's Matt. I think it's Matt, because the other guy is Maddie. One of the owners or the general manager was Maddie. And so I said, well, it's cool. It turns out, I was looking at his tattoo, and in the slang that they have in Australia, the Aussies, they always cut off like the words. So for the Aboriginals, they call them Abos. And I looked at his arm and I said, are you an Abo? And he goes, yeah, I am. And I go, no, you look too white. He goes, well, I'm mixed, but yeah, I'm like fourth generation. And he was like blown away. And I was like, wow, that's just amazing. So Silver Creek was out there. They were, they had their booth. They were represented. They had amazing pictures of all their places. We're going to have to hit them up on the next go around up there. And yeah, it was just amazing to see everybody there. my job is to promote, to hug, to hang out, to play, to make sure everybody's having a good time, to give stuff away. I'm there the minute I get on my Uber here in LA to the minute I get on my Uber back from LA, that's it. I'm 110, 127% in. I'm just like boom, boom, boom. And so I can't be around everybody, and I'm trying to. And so I'm like, you know, I try to do my best. And it works out. We just have a great time, and we get to hang out with everybody. So, yeah, it was an amazing time. Again, I met some amazing people. I hope, my hope is that we really got a chance to start something here, and we really got a chance to create a momentum of unity and partnership with all the different places and all the people, and you know, that people that might have like this political bent or this like I can't go there kind of thing, that's all going to go out the window, and we're all just going to have a great time, and that's what I'm thinking, I'm hoping is going to happen. So that's it. It was an amazing time. This segment is sponsored by Fully Activated. I from the 60s. I mean, I was born in 61. No, 70s. So the how do I say it? The cannabis that we would used to partake in back in the day was not as strong as what's happening with the stuff they have today. Because today it's all hybrid, breeded, whatever kind of thing. Back in our day, you know, you would get like stuff from maybe Mexico or whatever, and it'd be like full of sticks and rocks and whatever it is. Whatever. Okay, fine. The stuff today, very powerful. But what they've done and they've been able to do is they've figured out like all the compounds in the cannabis. And when they break it up, there is a CBD on one end and then the other part that makes you high. But people have been using cannabis for a very, very long time for medicinal purposes, medical purposes, whatever. People joke about it, like back here about a couple of years ago, you know, if you wanted to get, you'd have to get a medical card. And so they would go to a fake doctor and the doctor would say, "Yeah, oh, your toe hurts. Oh, okay, here's a card," whatever. Okay, that's bullshit. But cancer patients have been using it for a long time. I mean, everybody has been using it for Indians, whatever. It's part of our life. It's part of our society. It's a natural thing. It's not like a synthetic drug. So what's happening now is a lot of companies are coming along and they're realizing that the medical part of this that doesn't get you high can actually really help you, whether it's a cream, a swab, or whatever it is. And when I was at Pittsburgh Paintball Park last month, the paintball park owner, he actually had some behind the counter or in the counter, and he was selling it. I said, "What are you, a drug dealer?" He goes, "No, let me explain to you." And I tried it out. I said, "That's pretty cool." So he goes, "Contact the company. They're looking to promote this stuff." So I did. I contacted Rick, and I go, "This is what's going on. This is who I am. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blah, 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 blah." Bing, bang, boom. Next thing I know, I come back from Edmonton, and I got a huge box of their product. And they said, "We'll just keep on sending it to you. Just, you know." And then they gave me a discount code. Shoot you soon. If you go to their fully activated site, you'll get a discount code. They put the discount code in of shoot you soon, and get 10% off. So what I'm going to do now is it's legal in all states. And it's not like I'm like smuggling it to, you know, different events. If you guys are willing to try it, if you want to try it and see if it's going to help, if you like, you know, with your paintball bruises or your arthritis or whatever, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just telling you that you can look this stuff up if you want. And this is the one company I'm going to be promoting. And sure. I've got a bunch of samples I'm going to bring. Just hit me up at any event and just give this stuff a try if you want to. So that'll be cool. So again, we're sponsored by Fully Active on this part of the segment, and go check them out. So our next event that's coming up is something close to my heart because I've been going for a long time. One of the first ones that I went to, 2015, they made me a general, and that's where I made the announcement of I don't want to be a general, even though like I'm a celebrity, I don't want to be a general. I said there are generals, that's what they do. There's guys that are generals, and I said They brought me in, they put me on the poster, and hey, you know, Reaper's going to be a general against Wolf. Reaper, Wolf, generals. And so I got there, and this guy named Narf was there, and he was like the general always. And I go, hey, what's your name? And he goes, my name's Narf, and I was supposed to be the general, but you showed up. I go, dude, I'm not the general. You're the general. I don't do this general stuff. You've already been planning this thing for 6 months. I'm here to sell tickets and bring in, you know, people. I said, you're the general. And he was like all smiles. Yeah. I go, yeah, I'm not a diva. Go ahead. So, he goes, well, you know, your badge is worth 100 points. And I go, watch this. So I walked over to the Titman booth. And at that time there was, we had a guy named Denny Titman. He's the namesake of Titman. He goes, I go, dude, let me, do me a favor. Give me your badge. His badge is worth 1 point. So I gave him my badge, and now I'm a 1 point general instead of a 100 point general. So I'm out there running, shooting, and people are thinking, man, we got 200 points, 300 points. We keep on shooting up Reaper. Well, they didn't, but I wanted to be involved in it. So every year I keep on going back, and I keep on telling them, no general, put me on the poster. If I can sell, if I can increase your numbers, that's all I'm on, all in. So every year I go back, and we have an amazing time there. I was there a couple months ago for, in May, I think it was, for, Living Legends. And so now I'm going back to Hell Survivors in Pinckney, Michigan. And Dave and Kelly run an amazing park, an amazing event. They have an amazing place there. They have camping. They've got a huge swamp in the middle with a bridge going across with reeds that are like 8 feet high. They've got like all these different places. They're constantly rebuilding and fixing the place. They've got a new tiki. I mean, they've already had a tiki bar, but it was basically for VIPs only. And now they've opened it up for everybody, and they've made it a bigger area. So they have a live band. They just keep on popping it up a notch. And so this is going to be September the 21st through September the 23rd. And it's... something special. On Friday, Dave is letting us do – actually, Dave is doing something really cool. Dave Massey is doing something cool. But on Friday, we're doing a GI Sports versus the World MagFed-only game. So if you have a GI Sports gun that's MagFed, you can have like a – we have the hammer. We own that one, a spider. You can use a TPXs. My pistols have been upgraded for first strikes. You can do a TCR because that's got first strike capability. And why do I keep on saying first strike? Because Dave is allowing first strikes for the first time at their park. So it's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. First strikes if you want to use them. But we're going to be doing a MagFed-only game, first strike and round ball, on Friday. And we've got Sage and Crimson Paws, and we've got Robert Smith. They're all going to be helping us make this amazing event. And the other thing about this is going to be setting a precedent. What we're trying to do is to have players that don't normally play there look at this as a MagFed-friendly place that they can use first strike rounds or whatever they want to do, and we're trying to build that part of the sport into Hell Survivors. So please, you guys, if you are into MagFed, if you want to do first strike rounds, come out Friday with us. I know there's another game happening, and I hate the fuck when this happens. It sure would. There's another event happening as well, and everybody's always stepping on each other's toes. But come out for Friday. I'd like to have you come out for the whole weekend, but come out for Friday and show Dave and Kelly that that this MagFed thing is like something really big and that we can really do something well at their field. And you guys, if you've never done first strike rounds or first strike rounds at Hells, which this is the first time, come and do it. Just come and join us and have a great time. Okay, so that's going to be GI Sports versus the World, and on Saturday and Sunday is going to be the regular games, and on Friday we're doing the MagFed only. So I'm in. I hope you guys are in too. They've got Players Party. They've got their exclusive Red Ball Fireball, which is the red paintball, red fill paintball. Nobody else in the world uses red paint. They do. Got a barbecue for brigade members, which is fantastic. A mega prize giveaway. That's it. You guys just come and check this thing out. It's going to be something special. All right. So, I think that's it. I'm out of breath. We're picking up my daughter right now at the airport. She's flying in from school. As you guys know, a couple weeks ago we dropped her off, and now she's flying in for our holidays. The Jewish holidays are here, so she's flying in for that. We're going to pick her up as soon as I pull the trigger on this show. And again, I just want to thank everybody for all their help and support, for everything, for all the events that we go to, for everything, for being anti-bully online. I'm still kind of interested on this other one that was happening where they were questioning when I was in the service. I think because of who I am, because of the way that I act, because I don't act like a macho soldier kind of thing, people are like, well, I don't believe it. And then I show them the pictures. I said, look, here, this is a picture of my album when I was in Israel, and this is everything I did. And they're like, I'm like, well, I can't, whatever. If you're used to Rambo or something, or like, listen, I'm me. This is what I do. I'm transparent. I give you all my history. Whatever you ask me, I'll give you a straight answer for. So if you don't think that I was, I deserve calling myself a vet, that's cool. It's on you. Does a vet mean that I have to be in the American Army or the Canadian Army? They have other vets, I mean, there's every country in the world has an army. So I can't be in the vet from Israeli Army? I don't know. I guess I'll figure out. I already know who the people were, but I'm just letting them know. Come on, you guys. Is it a slow news day? What? So that's it. You guys have an amazing weekend. This Sunday, I'm going to be playing at Hollywood Sports with a cousin of mine who, like I said before, who, if you watch the Netflix show Fallujah, we'll talk about it later. Anyway, he's going to be there. We'll be doing some cool one-on-ones and some cool CQB stuff with pistols and just causing havoc with the newbies and with the seasoned players, but all in good fun. No one gets hurt and everybody gets a hug. All right. So that's it. You guys have an amazing weekend. For my Jewish friends, Shana Tova and happy holidays. And that's it. Be safe. And I guess I'll shoot you soon. Bye, you guys.